الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وكفى والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن سن سنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. My dear and respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this great book, Al-Quran, had revealed 114 surahs. 114 surahs. And over 6,000 ayahs are there in Al-Quran. And to read the entire Quran from memory, this is a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ, that the best person among you is that person who had learned Quran, and after learning Quran, he is teaching Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran have said that وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ, that verily I have made the Quran very easy to understand and to remember. So is there anyone among you who is ready to tadabbur, to learn Quran? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, Quran is the biggest miracle of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because imagine that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who never traveled anywhere. He was born in Makkah, 53 years of his life. He lived in Makkah. He lived his 10 years, last 10 years in Madinah Munawwara. He did not came to Europe. He did not went to US. He did not went to any African country. He did not go to Australia. None of these continents. He did not go anywhere. Plus, he did not know science. He did not knew geometry. He never even sailed in a ship or a boat. He never went to a teacher to learn anything from him. He was a person who was born in desert. He was raised in desert, and then he died in desert. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Al-Quran, this book Quran became the biggest miracle of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in this book, there is everything that a human being needs to be successful in this life. And then most importantly, this book has everything that a human being would need to be successful in the life hereafter. Therefore, when Quran talked about science, Rasulullah sallam was not a scientist. When it talked about medicine, Rasulullah sallam was not a doctor. When it talked about different issues, Rasulullah sallam was completely unaware of all those sciences. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran said, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانُ, O Muhammad sallam, you did not know how to read, you did not know how to write. You had no earlier knowledge of Torah, Injil, Zabur, nothing. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Al-Ummi for Rasulullah sallam. Al-Ummi means unlettered person, meaning a person who cannot distinguish Ba from Alif. You know, Alif from Ba, he cannot distinguish. If you were present at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you would put a copy of or a page that has some ayahs written on that page, and if you were to request Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Prophet of Allah, can you read this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not have read it. Allah. although he is the one who is receiving wahi, but he was unable to read what he had been receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, more so Rasulullah sallam was unable to read his own blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you remember that famous incident, when at the time of Sulh Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the mushrikeen said that in this peace treaty you should read that this treaty is between the people of Makkah and with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Rasulullah agreed. But Ali karamallahu wajhu, who was the scriber, he was writing. So he wrote that this treaty is between the people of Makkah and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the time for signature came and the text was read by the leaders of Makkah, they said everything is fine in this treaty except for one thing, and that is that we told you to write Muhammad only. Why did you write Muhammad Rasulullah? Because we do not believe in Muhammad as Rasulullah. But if we were to believe in him as Rasulullah, then there will be no conflict between us. So Ali said that, what do you want me to do? Mushrikeen said that just erase the word Rasulullah from this letter and we'll sign. So Ali karamullah wajhu said to mushrikeen that I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Rasulullah. I'm not ready to scratch it off. So Rasulullah said to Ali that, Ali, I command you to scratch the word Rasulullah from this paper. Just keep my name Muhammad and scratch the word Rasulullah. So Ali karamullah wajhu, who was such an obedient servant of Islam, such an obedient disciple of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to Rasulullah and with full respect and honor, he said to Rasulullah that, O Prophet of Allah, you can command me to do whatever and I will do it. But this is one order that I cannot do. But I already believe in you as Rasulullah. How can I scratch the word Rasulullah from this letter? So Rasulullah smiled and Rasulullah understood that he is not doing this out of his love towards me. So Rasulullah did not feel offended. But Rasulullah said, okay, take my finger and put my finger at that spot of this page where the word Rasulullah is written. So this shows that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unable to know where the word Rasulullah is written. So Ali karamullah wajhu took the hand of Rasulullah sallam and put Rasulullah's finger at the place where Rasulullah was written. Rasulullah himself scratched it. But my dear brothers and sisters, this shows that our Rasulullah sallam was an unlettered person, and this is an honor for Rasulullah sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had talked about this in a very glorifying way in Surah Araf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladhina yattabi'una rasulan nabiyyal ummi. Allah said, if you follow my Nabi, who is al-ummi. Al-ummi means unlettered. If you follow my Nabi, who is unlettered, you will go to Jannah. And the reason why Rasulullah sallam was kept unlettered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when Rasulullah sallam will receive this book, Al-Quran, then the world will accept Rasulullah sallam and his book, because Rasulullah sallam is talking in completely different tone. He's talking about things which Rasulullah have not learned from anywhere. He is an unlettered person. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had taught him. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, in the whole wide world, there is nothing more important than Al-Quran. There is no greater book in the world than Al-Quran. Now brothers, I'm repeating this, although this is your aqeedah as well. This is my aqeedah, and that's why you are here to participate in the dua of Khatmul Quran. But my dear brothers and sisters, imagine you have this aqeedah, mashallah, which is good. that at the time of Khatm al-Quran, the dua is accepted. And inshallah, it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a point to think is, brothers, that when we have such firm aqeedah on Al-Quran, that after the tilawat of Quran, after the khatm of Quran, the dua is accepted, then my dear brothers and sisters, why do we stop there? Why don't we take another step forward? And that is that why don't we firmly believe that the salvation of this ummah lies only in following this book? It is not a book for barakah only, my dear brothers and sisters. This is a book that Allah sent for the salvation of human beings. وَهَذَا ذِكْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ أَنزَلْنَا. Allah said, this is the most blessed dhikr that I have revealed in this world. So this is the most blessed. Brothers, when you and I act upon Quran, when we start following Quran, brothers and sisters, the destiny of this ummah will definitely change. Definitely change. Right now, brothers, you and I are all in the same boat. Years after years, we assemble in this masjid and other masajid wherever khatm of Quran is taking place. And we make dua and we beg to Allah, we cry to Allah, we sob to Allah, we really plead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah give us tawfiq. But my dear brother and sister, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you tawfiq until you yourself take the first step toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, brother, embrace this book as your book. This is the manual to be followed. It is not a book that should be put on the shelf only. My dear brothers and sisters, today, as you all are aware of, our dear youngster, Hafiz Mahfuz Rahman's grandmother passed away, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her. Tomorrow we are going to have her janazah. So I was in his home since morning, since afternoon kind of. She passed away. But I was thinking that what a good death she got. May Allah give me the same death. May Allah give you, when your time comes, may Allah give you the same death. Because since morning till her death, till she became unconscious, she was reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah constantly. And when she went into Sakaratul Maut, and I was there when she went into Sakaratul Maut, you know, at that time, of course, you're not in your senses, you are gradually drifting towards the unseen world. So now when she was in Sakaratul Maut, I told Mahfuz dad that now she's in Sakaratul Maut, now nothing, whatever she will say or do will matter. See, she has slipped into the another world. I came here for Salatul Zuhr from his home, and within moments after Salatul Zuhr, you know, I got the news that she peacefully passed away. My dear brothers, I was thinking that a person who gets the kalima at the time of his or her death, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah. A person whose last kalam in this world, meaning he did not speak anything after that, his very last kalam, akhiru kalami, the very last word that he or she uttered was la ilaha illallah. That shows that person has iman in his heart. That's why the time of death, that person is saying kalima la ilaha illallah. Because whatever is in your heart will come on your tongue at the time of your death. Because when you'll see Sakaratul, when you will be drifting towards Sakaratul Maut, brothers, whatever has been in your heart will come on your tongue. So if kalima came in to your tongue, this shows that all your life you have been believing in Allah, you have been believing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then my dear brothers and sisters, you have been reading Al-Quran. You have been trying to practice upon Quran. You have taken Quran as the book to be followed. You will get good death, my dear brothers and sisters, if you take Quran seriously. You will get good death if you had taken Quran seriously. You know, What do you and I mean, why are we here for tonight? Think, brothers. Why are we here? Why? Because we want our du'as to be accepted, which means that we want our life in this world to be successful. But we all firmly believe that when we go into Sakarat al-Maut, I want to get the kalima. I don't want to think about the world. I don't want to think about children. I don't want to think about anything. Because I'm leaving behind children. They are around my bed, crying, sobbing. But still, when I will die, my son and my children themselves, they are the one who are going to start preparing for burial. The moment a person dies, the next, the most closest, that is son, daughter, whatever, that person starts thinking that now we should start preparing for the burial. No person wants the body to be kept in the home for a long time. And that's what our Rasulullah ﷺ told us as well. Now I'm saying this because, brothers, take your memory back 1400 years back, my dear brothers, 1400 years back. Our Rasulullah ﷺ is also sleeping gradually in Sakratul Maut. Right? Sahaba have surrounded the blessed place where Rasulullah ﷺ is lying. Ali karamallahu wajhu is there. Ja'far, I mean those Sahaba who are from Ahlul Bayt, they are inside. Fatima is there, Zainab. I mean there are Sahaba and Sahabiyat there. And Rasulullah ﷺ is breathing his last breath. Gradually he's slipping into Sakarat al-Maut. But before he literally went into Sakarat al-Maut, Who can tell me what was the last words that Rasulullah said when, you know, I mean the way Rasulullah addressed? Yes, what Rasulullah said, that, oh people, I'm leaving this world. He very clearly said, I'm leaving this world. But remember, I'm leaving behind two things. That if you will hold on to these two things firmly, you can never go astray, and no power, no civilization, no superpower, none of these things are going to take you away from my path. So those two things that you should hold on to, one, Al-Quran, and second is my Sunnah. If you hold on to them, you are never going to go away from the right path. My dear brothers and sisters, this Ummah at large had left it. Imagine Rasulullah is leaving this world, and my dear brother and sister, you are a father, you are a mother, brother, you love your children, but brother, nobody loved people more than Rasulullah loved this Ummah. Nobody. And Rasulullah is leaving this world, and Rasulullah ﷺ is saying, oh people, I'm leaving, hold on to Quran and Sunnah. My dear brothers and sisters, once you and I left this, left Quran and Sunnah, and we went towards other things, look what happened to us. No matter from which country you are originally from, just think what a big mess it is back home. How many killings, bombing, raping, looting, you know, corruption. I mean, you look, it's the whole Ummah is in a big mess. You know, why is it so? It's our Ummah is such in a mess that when you go to your home country for vacation, you start counting days when it is time for you to come back. Why? Because you see that mess there. My dear brothers and sisters, it is only because when this Ummah would abandon Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mess the destiny of this Ummah. So my dear brother and sister, when you make dua tonight, I humbly would request you to just don't be a person with two thoughts or two niyah, that you are here to make dua, but from tomorrow or after Ramadan, you are going to sever, you are going to cut off all your links with Quran and Hadith. No, the reason why our du'as are not accepted is that our niyah is not clear. We are trying to deceive Allah. We are good actors. that you know we sob in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in our heart we know that from after Eid I have nothing to do with the masjid. I will come only occasionally or on Friday and forget about Quran, Hadith. I have no time. So that is already hidden in your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know what is in your heart. So when that intention is hidden there, that I have nothing to do with Quran, masjid, nothing after Ramadan, you know, brothers and sisters, so then what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, then will deal with us accordingly. Quran, brothers and sisters, should be read, should be understood, and should be implemented. And the ayah that I recited to you in the beginning is saying the same thing. Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. The word sadida is used, brother. You know, brother, what is the word sadida? You see, brother, if you are building a building, right, and you dig a foundation, right? Let's say if you have dug the foundation 2-3 feet down, you know, every sane person would make sure that before I start building the building, the foundation should be strong. You know, it should be really strong. That is sadida. Allah saying, oh people, when you speak, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, oh people who believe, first fear Allah, and when you say anything, when you speak, qulu qawlan sadida. You should be firm, no flip-flop. No, Allah says, qulu qawlan sadida. So when tonight you are making dua to Allah, brother, be sure what you are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not try to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qulu qawlan sadida. When you say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me, I'm making tawbah, brother, then you should mean it. Make tawbah. And tawbah means that, brothers, do not go back to your old ways. Come towards Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So be qulu qawlan sadida, be true to what you are saying. You know, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite this ayah of Quran. You know, brother, at what time? At what time, brothers? At the time of nikah, when he would be conducting a nikah. So he is reminding the groom and the bride that after this khutbatun nikah, when I'll ask your consent from the bride and the groom, you both of you, before you say, I accept, you should be firm what you are saying. Make sure that you do not break this important union, which is a nikah. So Allah, so Rasulullah will recite this dua, this ayah of Quran as a reminder to the groom and the bride. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if you are true to your words, you know, al-ayadu billah, you are not trying to fool Allah, but you are true. So tonight, brothers and sisters, when you say, oh Allah, forgive me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I make tawbah, and you are true to that, brothers, so this is qawlan sadida. So if you are true to Allah, in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you this glad tiding, this basharat. Allah said, Yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you are true to me, then I am ready to forgive no matter how many sins you have committed. You know, Allah is saying, I am ready to forgive you, but don't try to fool me. You know? In Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. These people are trying to deceive Allah. You know? And this is the sign of a hypocrite, that a hypocrite tried to deceive Allah. Allah is saying, how can you deceive me? Allah is saying, wala, you are hurting your own self. When you are trying to say something to Allah and then you have completely the other intention in your heart. So يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Then a person who believes in, who follows Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person is going to be successful in this life and in the life hereafter. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, summa Alhamdulillah, you know, in this masjid as well as all around the world, you know, Quran is being read, and this is the most often read book in the whole wide world. There's no book that is read more frequently. You know, Christians say that Bible is the most read book, but all of us know that they are lying. They know it very well that not even their pastor reads that book. He reads only when he has to deliver a sermon. You know, but alhamdulillah, in this masjid, look at these youngsters, mashallah, many of them spend the whole night or most of the night reading Quran. And when I see these youngsters reading, I'm thinking that look, they are reading Quran, the book of Allah, the kalam of Allah. Although they do not understand what they are reading, but the sweetness of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that even if you read Quran without understanding, your heart is saying that this is the kalam of my Rabb. You know, this is the kalam of my Rabb. Imagine if you will make a little more effort and will try to understand the language Arabic, and that also classical Arabic, in which not the slang that these days our Arab brothers use, not that, but the real classical Arabic, the Arabic that Rasulullah used to speak, you know, the classical Arabic in which Quran has been revealed. And brother, I can guarantee you, because I'm guaranteeing you this in the light of Quran, that if you will make a little bit effort to learn the classical Arabic of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it very easy for you to understand. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said that if you come towards me walking, I will come towards you running. You know, Allah is saying, you try coming towards me and you see how fast I will come to you. And my dear brother and sister, in Quran, Allah have taught about Quran to be the easiest book to understand. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. Allah did not say وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْفْرَنْشِ or Hispanic or English. No, Allah said وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. Verily, I had made Quran and the language of Quran very easy to understand. You know, so brother, you know so many languages, alhamdulillah, but you do not know the language of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the language of Ahlul Jannah, which is the language in which angels are going to talk to you. So brother, this is going to be your eventual language. So why not get accustomed to the language of Quran in this world? Believe me, brothers, you will enjoy it. You will enjoy it and you will learn more and more from Quran and from Hadith. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our assembly here, inshallah, you know, a maqbool assembly, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month of Ramadan a blessed Ramadan for all of us. Subhanallah bihamdih, subhanakallahu bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.